This is Rhode Island's longest running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa. With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
And we're welcoming you to the Money Talk program, everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're here, you know, I'm here with our producer, Maya, and she's, you know, a little depressed today, a little off. She got the news about Prince Harry and you know, Meghan Markle, the American actress, actually from that show Suits, you know, try to put the letters together. Harry didn't tell Maya about Meghan. And that's sad on so many different levels. I mean, I think if anybody deserves to be a princess, it's our Maya, or, you know, or at least a duchess, the duchess of something, right? I mean, I think so. But anyway, I mean, if that's the news of the day, God bless them all, you know. Stocks ended mixed today. Strangely enough, I mean, early in the day, people are saying, hey, retail, you know, it's coming into the Christmas shopping season. All of a sudden, there's an opportunity there for, you know, retail companies, retail stocks to do okay. And the day started out okay, but finished up kind of mixed on Monday. Today, I mean, the market's slipping from record highs that was set early on. You know, it was a rally in that whole sector. The retail sector's rally faded by the end of trading. You know, the Dow gained about 22 points. The S&P was actually up. I thought it was going to be up for the day, but it actually finished down 0.04%, so kind of flat. NASDAQ was down 0.15%. And of course, the NASDAQ's going to be heavily weighted in the technology companies. So, you know those areas, that is an area, admittedly, of the market as we get to the close to the end of this year, that has run up tremendously during the course of the year. Maybe it's not anybody making a negative vote on technology. Maybe they're just saying, hey, it's time to take some profits, right? As one colleague, as well as a bunch of even guys like the people you see on TV, you know, have said, hey, nobody's ever lost money taking a profit. Major indices had received a boost from gains in the retail sector. Traders, they were betting on a strong holiday season here. You had a lot of sales coming in after Black Friday. You know, the space seems to be a little bit of a show-me story, according to Art Hogan. He's a chief market strategist at Wunderlich Securities. He's on CNBC today talking about this. He said it only takes a bit of good news for these companies to actually move higher. So it's sort of a show-me attitude that he has. He noted, however, that Wall Street remains somewhat cautious ahead of a key vote that's going to be set for later this week. The Senate is expected to vote on a bill aimed at reforming the U.S. tax code. That may be happening on Thursday. We'll see how that shakes out. Traders have also been eagerly awaiting tax reform since last year's election. That was a big part of the conversation of both the primaries and the general election. But doubts about whether the Republican-led Congress would actually be able to achieve this before year-end have lingered. I think the president set himself up. I think he honestly came into this whole thing believing that the leadership in Congress, both the House and the Senate, all he needed to do was tell them what they wanted, and they would go get the votes for him, and then he'd end up signing the bill. That's why he kept saying this stuff's going to happen within 100 days. The first 100 days is going to be the most progressive and productive, not progressive, wrong term, productive 100 days in the history of the presidency. Everything is always these big, grandiose achievements, but of course it didn't happen. And then he learned quickly, especially given how he was going after that health care repeal and replace thing. I mean, one of the harder things you can imagine. He even said, hey, this is complicated stuff, this health care stuff. It's harder than I thought. My. Now, what he's finding out is that legislating in general is harder than he thought. And I think by giving everyone the expectation that everything was going to be done easily and quickly, and he set himself up. I think he set himself up for disappointment. If the Senate bill actually passed, then a joint bill with the House would actually have to be created. So pieces of the House bill that has already passed, pieces of the Senate bill that they want to pass would have to be there's like a reconciliation where they have to reconcile the elements of both sides. The House passed that bill on November the 16th to cut taxes on businesses and some on individuals, but it differs quite a bit from the Senate bill in some key areas. You know, the most significant difference, I think, between the chamber's plans is the treatment of state and local tax deductions. Now, obviously, in some states, it's going to be a bigger deal than others. The Senate plan would eliminate those deductions pretty much entirely. Not a popular bill probably in California or in New York City, New Jersey, and others like that, where they have very, very high tax bills in a lot of areas. Not only multiple bills, multiple elements of income tax, but also very high property taxes. The measure could alienate a number of their own House Republicans who voted for the chamber's bill that would actually allow up to about $10,000 in property tax deductions. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of compromising going on before this thing finds its way in whatever form it is to the president's desk. However, L. Thomas Block, a Washington policy strategist at Fundstrat Global Advisors, he expects a joint tax bill will be passed, he thinks, by Christmas. House and Senate Republicans can't face their voters back home in 2018 without having passed some sort of a tax bill passing on, you know, on, in that particular area. Keeping up with what may have ultimately been, what may prove to be, some sort of unrealistic promises that they would have made, you know, back there at that time. It's a tough job. The world of politics, bringing in people who were very smart in their own areas of the world, whether it's business, even Wall Street, even the real estate sector. I mean, wherever they happen to be, you bring them in as great successors there. They were deal makers there, and the president believed that these would be the right people to man some key positions he had in his administration. He's learning very quickly. It is their ignorance. And by the way, the word ignorance doesn't mean stupid. The word ignorance means a lack of experience or a lack of knowledge in a given area. You can fix stupidity. It's hard to fix. Ignorance you can fix. You can educate yourself, or you can be educated, and you have to accept the realities of life. That takes you away from being an ignorant person. A lot of ignorant people in the current administration in Washington, not because they're stupid, not because they're not capable, but because they simply don't understand how these things work. They don't understand how the government structure works. They could just come in and burn the house down like Steve Bannon wants to do, realizing that, you know, that process is the ultimate in throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which ends up ultimately being more painful and more expensive than any other way of legislating the growth and future of our country. So I think maybe year one of the presidency will have proven to be, we hope, a major education opportunity or learning curve opportunity for the president and his people in the West Wing, as well as a lot of people that are part of his government broadening out. And maybe as he learns more and more, then he'll finally figure out how to get his people through the nomination process so that he can fill the jobs that are critically needed out there, including the State Department, in order to get anything done here in the U.S. and around the world. Hey, folks, this is Don Sowey. You're listening to the Money Talk program here on AM 790, your home of talking business. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a very costly mistake that some retirement savers are looking at, a great article from The Motley Fool, one of my newsletters that I like to look at. The writer was looking at a number of surveys by some of the big players like Fidelity, one of the biggest money managers out there, and telling you some of the stats and statistics that Fidelity has related to retirement planning and some of the mistakes that retirees make. That'll be an interesting topic for the rest of the show. I'll be right back, so please stick around.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Which shopping malls are in good shape when it comes to investing in the underlying real estate properties? As the holiday shopping season kicked off, we asked Steve Brown. He's portfolio manager at American Century Real Estate.
We define any mall as a mall that does, say, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 a square foot in sales. And it's typically a mall that's anchored by perhaps a Neiman Marcus, a Nordstrom's, but also a Macy's, and then the whatever the hot restoration hardware could be in the mall, the A malls, that is, some restaurant concepts. And they're bringing a lot more restaurant concepts and non-apparel concepts to the A malls because that's where the demand is, as well as, let's say, a Tesla store, obviously the Apple stores, the Samsung stores, products of that nature, Bonobos, et cetera. Warby Parker is going to Class A malls. So they're doing it that way. It's going to be a process, though, because they have to weed out some of the weaker retailers.
But Brown says overall retailers have been making a stronger showing lately as they embrace e-commerce. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPas. SalonPas pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest labeled pain reliever available without a prescription, safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPas is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPas pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hiring is important, but finding the right people can be a real challenge. That's why ZipRecruiter is obsessed with finding you qualified candidates fast. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds candidates with the right experience, then alerts the most qualified ones to apply for your job as soon as you post it. You can even add screening questions to your job post, narrowing your focus to only relevant applicants, saving you time. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. We're so confident that ZipRecruiter will get you better results than anywhere else. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back. This is the Money Talk program. AM 790, your home of talking business. That's what we do here. Closing out 2017, we're coming pretty close to the end of the year, about to enter the final month of the year. You know, historically, and of course there's no guarantee of future performance, but historically, November, December, January, February, these 4 months are usually pretty good for the market. They don't have to be. And yes, there have been years when they weren't. But historically, if you look at the averages over time, going back, well, say the last century or so, during which we actually had reasonably accurate data, they even go so far as to name it, either the Santa Claus effect, because Christmas is right there in the middle of it, or just the January effect. There's a lot of things, even some of them are mechanical in nature, strategic or mechanical, at the end of the year that happen within a great many portfolios, great many money managers engage in practices at year end to try to, I even call it window dressing. It's not a term I made up, but we've heard them. It's used. A lot of money managers want the portfolios to look a certain way when they have to print up those year-end reports for their investors, right? The beginning of the new year, a lot of new things happen. A lot of things that happen because a year they've marked their economy, they've marked their businesses, they marked their portfolios to the market on December the 31st or year-end, and there's some things that have to be done, including contributions to some profit-sharing plans and a whole bunch of other things that actually happen once the year-end numbers are provided by all of the chief financial officers or the accountants. And so that's a lot of new money that comes into the market. Bonuses, a lot of the year's production bonuses on Wall Street, big numbers are paid at that time. Little things that affect the direction of the markets. Again, they're behavioral issues. The market is a behavioral minefield sometimes. And I've always told people, I said, you should do a lot of research, learn the terms, learn the terminology, learn the language of investing. Lots of free sites online that you can go into to educate yourself. A lot of great free information. There's shows like Money Talk here that are on the air. A lot of great people out there. Some are professional advisors. Some of them are people that write books and newsletters. I mean, they come from, some of them, you know, came originally from the financial services field in the past and use their past experience and what they've learned. And they share it, hopefully, with you. And you pick and choose. You as a consumer, you're a consumer of information, too. You pick and choose the things that either make greatest sense to you, or maybe you choose to listen to the people that you find easiest to understand. We try for 26 years here on the Money Talk program to take what sometimes come across as very sophisticated and confusing concepts and to translate them for you into plain English. The world of retirement accounting, retirement planning, has become critically important. Our generation, my generation anyway, the baby boomers, people born after World War II, has been historically one of the larger and recently the dominant generation in the U.S. economy, global economy too to some degree, but certainly in the U.S. And now we are in our 60s and 70s for the most part. We're smack dab in the category, the sweet spot, if you want to call it that, of retirement planning. That means you're either approaching during the last phase of retirement when you really have to start thinking closely, carefully about what your options are. You have to take a little bit of an inventory. This is a time, I think, more so than all of the rhetoric and all of the product discussions and strategies that people talk about on financial news programs. This is the time when you have to start really growing to understand yourself. Looking in the mirror, sitting down at the kitchen table with your partner, pull out that yellow pad and your four-function calculator, and start looking through the information, the data, including maybe the back of your checkbook, you know, the ledger back there, and that'll give you a pretty solid sense of how you spend money, right? If you're one of the people that are already on the computer doing spreadsheets and things like that, that's cool. But having a system that tells you who you are financially, where does all the money go? I mean, you can look to see, you know, the inflows of money, looking at your bank's reports. You know, look at the inflows. You see what's coming in from all sources. And by the way, understanding what you're going to have available to you in retirement, whether you've already gotten your information from Social Security, for example, what will you be eligible to receive, you and your spouse? What will you be receiving at your full retirement age? What you'll receive if you choose to retire earlier? What you can potentially receive if you choose to wait a little longer, maybe go out to age 70? You know, there are all options out there, and some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of them are choices you really don't have an option to make because you simply need the money. I get it. So you'll request Social Security start sending you a check as soon as you're eligible to receive one, which is typically age 62. But it's a discounted check. It's less than what you're able to get at full retirement age. If you have the ability to wait, then waiting a little bit, I mean, you're looking at a 7-8% advantage per year for just waiting. And if you didn't need the money, you know, where are you going to go, honestly, to get that 8% return on an investment? You increase the value of the check you're eligible to receive by waiting each year, right out to age 70. Not a bad idea. Again, strategizing. Sit down and create a strategy for yourself. Understand what happens if you make this choice. What happens if you make that choice? Do an inventory. As I used to say, thinking of retirement as a you're about to start the battle. You're going to plan for this war we call retirement. It's not a war, but it is a competition in some ways. Sometimes, sadly, it's you against yourself, right? Mistakes that you could make, bad habits that you bring to the retirement planning process. Hopefully, if you're working with an advisor, your advisor will be honest with you and tell you, this is a mistake. Please don't do this. But more importantly, using their experience, the advisor should share with you stories, in some cases, stories about other people that did what you're proposing to do and why it was a problem. And does it guarantee it'll happen the same way to you? No, it doesn't. But people who see the same thing over and over again, the same decision with the same negative result, and then assume that they can do it the same way and not have the same negative result, that's kind of foolish at some point, isn't it? But anyway, retirement accounts like IRAs, 401ks, they can be unbelievable. I mean, they can be the tools, especially the earlier you start, the more disciplined you are. They could be a lifesaver, literally helping you to, in a disciplined manner, to have money come right out of your paycheck, out of sight, out of mind, and sock that money away right into a tax-advantaged account one that actually allows you to reduce your taxable income while you're working by the amount that you contribute to the plan. And then once the money's in there, you can move that money around within the account if there are options within it, in most cases, and there's no taxable event to making the buys or the sells or the choices inside the plan. And many of the plans, you know, granted, I will concede that there are some plans, 401ks, some IRAs, that are simply better than others. But the ones that you're going to find most advantageous are the ones that give you the finest level of choices, the ones that give you diverse choices, choices that can reflect you and your personality and perhaps the goals that you have, plans that are well explained to you, materials, even some advice. Maybe your company offers some workshops by the plan provider, right? Is it a good idea to take those workshops? You know, yeah, even if they don't give you all the information you need to make a great decision, maybe they'll give you the information you need to focus on creating some really good questions. If you can formulate good questions, you can get the answers either working with your financial professional or even just calling up the Money Talk program here on AM 790. Yeah, that's right. You can call the show with that well-formulated question you came up with. Even if you're driving in your car, okay, I don't want you to drive and talk on the phone, but Maya's here. She's our producer. You can talk to her. She's not scary, I promise. Give her your question. She'll plug it into my screen, and I will try to answer that question before you get to your destination. Again, it's not scary because we're not trying to sell you anything. All I want you to do is make really well-informed, educated decisions as best you can. According to the folks over at Fidelity, and they provide probably more 401ks and IRAs than just about anybody. They're one of the biggest players out there in the U.S. as well as the global market. There are rules related to these wonderful tax advantage plans, IRAs, 401ks. There are rules. If you don't know the rules, you can get burned. We don't want you to get burned. These are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful products and programs if you use them properly. Education is a big part of that. That's why we're here doing the show every night at 5 o'clock. Especially on Tuesdays when Donna Allen, my daughter's here. It's get back to basics. We want to talk about the most basic elements of these decisions. But you got to follow the rules on any financial product. Either you don't get to take full advantage of the opportunity that they represent, or you can make some costly mistakes. According to the people over at Fidelity, this is a stat that I just heard the other day that blew my mind. They said that as of just a few weeks ago, 61% of their account holders, the people that have 401ks and IRAs with them, 61% were not following the critical rules for traditional IRAs, which is taking their fully required minimum distribution when they reached age 70 and a half. You don't have to take money out of your IRA at all. As a matter of fact, there are penalties for taking it out before age 59 and a half. They have a disincentive for you taking it too early. In other words, during years that are not typically your retirement years. They want you at the point where you're no longer going to work or can work. You know, that's the point that they want you to be starting to draw money out of your retirement accounts. But prior to that, they don't want you to. They will create a penalty for early withdrawal, a 10% excise tax penalty. And the money will be taxed as ordinary income on top of that. So they have this rule, a required minimum distribution at age 70 and a half. If you don't start taking the money when you're supposed to, and if you don't take out the right amount, yes, there are some onerous penalties. A closer look at RMDs, that's part of what we're going to be discussing on this program in the second half of the program. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to introduce you to required minimum distributions. We're going to tell you some of the rules about them. And yes, we're going to tell you some of what happens when I say you can get burned by doing it wrong. Yeah, you make mistakes with RMDs. This is one of the more onerous penalties that the Internal Revenue Service applies. And I understand why they do it. It's important for you to know what it is. This is Money Talk. You're listening to AM 790 on your home of talk and business, WPRV Radio, right here in Southern New England. I'm Don Sower. I'll be right back.
You're sick and wonder if antibiotics can help. Antibiotics can help, but they're not right for every situation. Consumer Reports and the Choosing Wisely campaign suggest asking your doctor a few key questions like, do I really need antibiotics? Antibiotics don't fight viruses like the common cold or sinus infection. Or are there simpler, safer options? Sometimes all you need is rest and plenty of liquids. For other important questions to ask about antibiotics, go to consumerhealthchoices.org/antibiotics.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Before his injury, John Bennett was a career soldier. While serving in Iraq, he was shot by a sniper.
Stepped out, turned back towards the Humvee, and as soon as I did, I got hit. It shattered 2 vertebrae and fractured another one. I ended up losing my right kidney, my spleen, my colon, and half my pancreas.
John's wife, Dina.
Paralyzed Veterans of America got us our benefits.
Senior National Service Officer Michael Killen.
I helped him fill out the forms. I hand carried the forms over to the VA and walked them through the system.
You're just trying to survive, and they help you along the way.
It's very nice to see when your work pays off and you're very successful in it, because you can see the change in that veteran.
Him starting a taxidermy business is accomplishing something every day.
I'm glad to be back to work.
To learn more about Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit pva.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Rent covered. Bam. Babysitter paid. Boom. With Pop Money and Navigant Credit Union, it's that easy. Send and receive money quickly and securely, online or right from your mobile device. No worries, no need to exchange account numbers. Just use the Pop Money feature. To learn more about Pop Money, visit NavigantCU.org. Navigant Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. Pop Money is powered by Fiserv Inc., but is activated through specific financial institutions. Terms and conditions may apply.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back. Now, of course, I start the whole discussion off by telling you all the wonderful things, or how wonderful retirement planning can be, retirement planning tools like the IRA. You know, when I was a young guy in high school and even early college, there really were no IRAs. And then when they suddenly came available, they're pretty much offered through banks for the most part. And you could only put $2,000 into them. Now, I understand that's all relative. It's the timing. Back when I was in high school, we're talking about 1970. So, but, you know, all that said, the 401ks didn't even exist at the time. But, you know, the sad part about transitioning is that when 401ks did not exist, they are what they call a defined contribution plan, which is very simply a plan that has you making a decision to contribute some of your income into a tax-advantaged retirement vehicle. The nice thing about them is that they're created, administered, and a large part of the cost covered by your employer, your company. And it's their job to do due diligence, to bring people in and to advise them on, you know, what are the best designs for these plans, because there's different features that many 401k plans will have. Is it the appropriate vehicle or tool for your company and your employees? And understanding what the benefits of them are. And of course, like I said, if you choose to put $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 of your paycheck into your 401k plan, then if you earn $60,000 that year, then it's going to reduce your taxable income, that 60, by the $5,000 that you contributed. So they talk about getting a deduction. No, what they're doing is they're reducing your taxable income by the amount you contribute. And that's a good deal. So yes, so now your taxable income will be $55,000, or at least to start. I'm sure there's other things, you know, that are taken out of it as you go along before you get to what we affectionately call take-home pay. And that, of course, includes your federal and state taxes. But the idea of a defined contribution is that it is what you contribute that is definable. Before these defined contribution plans were created, the 401ks, the thing that was popular out there, not every company had one, I'll admit, but what was popular were what we call defined benefit plans. Now, those would be the traditional pension that you hear about. You work a certain number of years, you earn a certain level of pay. They have an algorithm or a formula that, based upon all that, when you get to your retirement years, you're certainly at some age eligible to receive an income, or what would you call it, immediate annuity payment, an income for the rest of your life. And the company itself, who has, you know, created this defined benefit plan for you in their administration of the plan, must fund it properly. And they have actuaries that come in on an ongoing basis to make sure that enough money is being put into the plan to make sure that your defined benefit is going to be available when you finally get there. Those things have gone slowly but surely by the by. You're not hearing too much about defined benefit pension plans anymore. There's still a few companies. I still have a few clients that are blessed to have a regular pension. But most of them have wound down, and even those that have a small pension, they've replaced part of the obligation for retirement planning into a defined contribution plan like a 401k. Now, as with all of these things, these plans have rules that go with them. If you have all of your tax-advantaged retirement money parked perhaps in a Roth IRA and not a traditional IRA or a 401k, well, then you don't have to worry about when you take the money out. The government's not going to tell you at 70 and a half, for example, that you have to start taking money out under the RMD or required minimum distribution rules. And when you do actually take money out of a Roth, it's going to come out tax-free, not tax-deferred. Tax deferral means you don't pay the taxes while you're contributing and while the money is growing and compounding over your working years. When you finally get to retirement age, your retirement years, you start drawing money out of your IRA or your 401k or your 403b. These are all different kinds of defined contribution programs. Well, guess what? At that point, they will be taxed as ordinary income, at least under the current tax code. I mean, we'll see if that changes, but that's what it is right now. The Roth IRA, there is no tax liability when you draw the money out. You will be using after-tax dollars to fund it. So, yes, any money that if you have, some people have a 401k plan that actually has a Roth feature to it. So what do? They have some money coming out of their pay that they will, in fact, pay taxes on. They're using after-tax dollars to fund the Roth. Now, once the money is in there, it's just like the regular 401k. It's going to grow tax sheltered. It's going to be very, very cool. The difference is when you get to retirement, though, after age 59 and a half, you can draw the money out of the Roth piece of your 401k. You can either leave it there if they allow you to do that, or you can move it over into a Roth IRA rollover. And you're not forced or inspired or driven to draw the money out at all. You paid the taxes up front. Now you can take it out tax-free. Now, as I said, that's if you chose the Roth versus the traditional. A large part of money going into these plans is going to be in the traditional style plan, especially in the 401k side, because a great many companies, not all again, but many, try to incentivize their employees to participate in the plan. There's a lot of different reasons for that, and we'll talk about that on another show. There's a lot of different reasons for it. But the idea is they don't want the plan to be tax heavy. I mean, what we call top heavy, and that's an issue that can affect the efficiency of the plan going forward. But ultimately, at the end, the money that is in those types of plans, that's going to come out. You know, it's going to come out, and the government will then get their tax revenue. They didn't get revenue when you put the money in; it was tax deductible. They didn't get the money as the money grows; it's tax sheltered over those years. All of a sudden, you get to retirement. Well, what would happen if people didn't have to actually draw money out of their IRAs or 401ks? If they had other sources of income, for example, the government would never get their tax revenue. So they actually decided, well, we've got to have some sort of required minimum distribution to make sure that at some point during their lifetime in retirement, they're going to actually draw some money out of the account, and then they can pay their taxes on it. Now, don't get me wrong. The government doesn't care if you spend the money, although I imagine as consumers, they would like you to spend the money as a consumer would. But from a tax perspective, that's not the issue. You could very, I've seen the, you look at the forms that you fill out and it says, okay, here's, I'm going to take out my required minimum distribution here. They'll say, do you want it sent to you as a check to your home, your address of record? Do you want to have it wired directly into your checking account at the bank? There's also a little thing on there that says, would you like it sent to an alternative but taxable account? So with the same company, like in this case, Fidelity's talking about this from their records, Fidelity would say to you, well, you know, if you don't want to spend the money, you know, we're not going to force you to do that. We would certainly love for you to keep it invested. So we'll set up an individual account or a joint account for your household. And that's a taxable portfolio. And you can wire that money directly into the joint account or the individual account. A 1099 is going to be generated. It's going to go to the IRS. You're going to pay taxes on that distribution. You did what you had to do under the RMD rules. But now that money is going to go in as the cost basis of a new account that continues your saving and your investing, if you choose that. Many people have a number of different types of accounts. And as I said, you're not required if you draw money out at age 70 and a half from your account. That first year at 70 and a half, the amount is a percentage of the portfolio from the end of the previous year. So, you know, you're looking, okay, say this is the year you're going to turn 70 and a half. So I look at December the 31st of last year and I'll say, okay, divide that by 27.4. That will give you the dollar amount that has to come out. That 27.4 is simply the number you see on a mortality table that actuaries use to calculate how much you should be distributing. The number comes to about 3.64% that first year. It changes each year. The idea is over your lifetime in retirement, they want you to have paid all of your required taxes on all of the money that you had in an IRA over that time frame. Now, when you look at a Roth IRA, you can leave the money in it to grow, as I mentioned, tax-free, over your entire lifetime. You know, in the funds in it don't actually have to start getting withdrawn when you die. That it's not required. But with a traditional IRA or a 401k plan, both the traditional 401k and the newer Roth 401k that I just mentioned, must start taking money out beginning at age 70 and a half. And you can't just withdraw any sum you want, as I mentioned. They're using a mortality table. The IRS has rules about those withdrawals. That's why they call it. You can take out as much as you want, by the way. They would love for you to take out a big chunk of money and pay a big chunk of taxes. This is what it's all about. It's about paying taxes to the government. What RMD stands for, again, as a reminder, is required minimum distribution, the required minimum amount to take out and be taxed. Now, the larger the size of your account, the bigger that tax revenue going to the government is. Now, each year you've got, at 70 and a half, you must withdraw at least your required minimum distribution so that you avoid trouble with the IRS. The RMD, the required minimum distribution, is calculated based on life expectancy and the balance in your account at the end of the previous year. Your IRA and or your 401k custodian, often the financial institution where your account lives, the trustee, so to speak, Fidelity, for example, uses most IRAs, 401ks are with Fidelity Trust Company or Fidelity Management Trust Corporation. Those are trustees. And yes, your 401k plan, your IRA with them, it's in a trust, which is another reason why it's sheltered. It's not only sheltered from tax liability while it's in there, but it's also sheltered from your creditors under ERISA rules. Well, anyway, your trustee, your financial institution, or it could be your bank, their trust department, they're likely going to inform you of your RMD requirement while also reporting to the IRS that same information. That makes things a lot easier, we hope. Now, if you're not informed as to the amount of your RMD, contact your account administrator and ask about that. Alternatively, you can consult the IRS using RMD worksheets. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, the rules and what happens if you do it wrong, when I come back after this brief break. This is Money Talk, and I'm Don Sowa.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808, keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
I love investing in American businesses.
Tomorrow, Marcus Lemonis spends his own money.
Unfortunately, on paper, you're out of business.
To save small businesses.
I've agreed to invest $3 million, and I will be 100% in charge.
This is going to be tough for you.
I'm up for the challenge.
New season, new possibilities.
Do you believe in your company?
Yes.
Prove it to me. Let's go to work.
Marcus Lemonis is The Profit. All new tomorrow, 10 Eastern and Pacific. CNBC. Get yours.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we're back with the last segment of tonight's Money Talk. We are talking about required minimum distributions from IRAs or 401ks, in other words, qualified plans. You've been given all these cool opportunities to save money and some incentives and cool benefits from doing it correctly, but now you have to pay up. So you're going to start taking money out of a 401k or an IRA in the year in which you turn 70 and a half. Actually, it's a little bit of a rule that goes with it. I'll explain that. But if you withdraw less than the amount that you need to in a given year, or let's say you make your withdrawal later than the deadline, which would be after the end of the tax year or the moment in which you're allowed to do it, you might actually have to pay an excise tax penalty. Get this, folks. 50% of the amount that you failed to withdraw. In that case, you'll need to fill out IRS Form 5329 and include that with your federal tax return for the year in which you took less than you were actually supposed to. Now, you could also include an explanation of what actually happened. As per the IRS, the penalty may be waived, believe it or not. And by the way, I've seen this happen, so it's true. The IRS isn't there with a bright light and the rubber hose to beat you down. If you can explain how this happened, it was unintentional. It was, and by the way, this is the case where you're willing to fall on your sword and claim ignorance. There's nothing wrong with that. The penalty may be waived. It's a big penalty if the account owner establishes that the shortfall in that distribution was due to a reasonable, unintentional error, and that reasonable steps are being taken to remedy the shortfall. So, for each year in which you must take an RMD, it must be taken by December 31st, except for the very first year. For the year in which you actually turn 70 and a half, you have until April the 1st, not April the 15th, April the 1st of the year following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. In other words, if you turn 70 and a half this year in 2017, anywhere along, let's say it was last August, you turn 70 and a half. You have until April the 1st of 2018 to actually make your first required minimum distribution. For the year 2018, though, You have until December the 31st. So if you don't do it, if you don't actually do the distribution during 2017, which is the year in which you technically turned 70 and a half, and you do, for whatever reason, choose to wait till April the 1st of the following year, which you can do. If you do it, however, you're going to have to make two required minimum distributions in the year 2018. I don't think that's a great idea. And the larger your required minimum distribution, the more onerous this part of the rule is. Now note, if you use the allowed delay in your first year, as I mentioned, you'll be making two distributions the same year, which might boost your taxable income. And guess what? That could bump you into a higher tax bracket. You better be if you're working with a CPA, or maybe if you haven't in the past, maybe this is the first year you actually sit down with a professional tax preparer who knows what they're doing and have them do it for you, do it as a template, because this is the year where it's different. The rule changes. After that, it becomes more stable and more understandable. This first year, though, a lot of mistakes can be made. Don't make them. So proceed with caution. Run the numbers for both scenarios to see what plan will do, you know, be the best strategy for you. There are other rules to know, though. Example, the 401k plan, RMDs generally start when you turn 70 and a half or when you retire, if that's later. So if you're still working full-time and you have a 401k plan that you're participating in, you don't actually have to start taking the requirement distribution at 70 and a half. You can wait until you officially, well, separate from service is the term I use rather than termination. And by the way, those who own 5% or more of a company sponsoring their retirement plan, they have special rules as well. That may not apply to you, but they do. Any particular retirement plan might have some particular rules about requirement RMDs, so it's worth looking into what the rules are for your particular retirement account. Now, your RMDs will usually be taxable as ordinary income for the year in which they were taken, they were earned. And they, by the way, may be subject to state and local taxes, too. As the IRS explains, your withdrawals will be included in your taxable income except for any part that was taxed before your basis, in other words, or that can be actually received tax-free, such as qualified distributions from, say, a designated Roth account. You don't have to pay taxes on Roth assets. Now, it's smart to be strategic with your RMD. If you have multiple IRAs, for example, some people have, you know, different credit unions, different banks, different, you know, or perhaps 401ks, you actually have some choice to make. With IRAs, you must determine your RMD for each of them. Then you can withdraw the total sum from just one of them or from several of them if you wish. For example, if you have a multiple 401k plan account, you must take each account's RMD separately from each account. For example, if you have three IRAs and your RMDs from them are $2,000, $3,000, and $5,000. For the total of $10,000 in RMDs, you can withdraw those sums from their respective accounts if you want, or you can withdraw the $10,000 from any or several of them. A good example of that might be, let's say you have an IRA, one of them, and it's in an account that is paying very little, if any, interest. So the way that it grows is an interest-bearing type account, maybe a short-term, you know, CDs or possibly a money market. Well, if it's earning you nothing, but you have other IRAs that are earning 4 or 5% in an alternative type of vehicle, then if you can, why not simply take the entire $10,000 from the one that pays, the one that is the least productive asset for you? The one that's paying you the least annual revenue is in the area of compounding growth. You can do that. Or, as I said, you could take the money incrementally from each of the three IRAs. That's entirely up to you. Now, in this situation, consider withdrawing from the IRA from which you have the lowest growth expectations. That's the way Fidelity explained it, or the one that's generating the least dividend or interest income. Now, if your income is lower than usual in a given year, a specific year, you might actually withdraw more than the RMD in your accounts that year. If you expect to have a significantly higher income in the coming years, enough to, say, push you into a higher bracket, it might be worth your while taking more than the RMD as well while you're still in the lower bracket. So you're looking ahead saying, I'm going to have sources of income in the future that'll be higher, so maybe I should be taking more out and incur the current tax liability while I'm at a lower rate. Now, with some knowledge, if you're armed with that about these required distributions, you can avoid being penalized rather severely, number one. Remember, failing to take an RMD of, say, $8,000 in 1 year can result in a tax bill of $4,000. That's the penalty. Now, that's a very big deal, and it's well worth avoiding. And by the way, if you go in and you end up paying the $4,000 deal, then you've got to go back in at that particular point. If you pay the penalty, but you also still have to pay the ordinary income taxes on all of the income for that particular year. Again, worthwhile understanding what the rules are, knowing that if you fail, the rules can be very expensive for you. So I mentioned to you that early on, before you retire, is a good time to start planning out what happens in retirement. It's also important to understand not only do I have enough money to draw money out and live comfortably in addition to my Social Security, say, yeah, you should do that anyway. Understand what it costs to be you and understand where that money will come from. But also understand that it's not just taking money and taking enough money to live comfortably and having enough money to live comfortably. It's also a question of where will I take the money from? Where do I take the income from? And in the end, am I talking about living on my gross income or am I looking at take home? In the end, we don't really live, even today while you're working, you don't live on gross pay, do you? You live on your take home pay. So understand that even in retirement, even though you're not paying FICA, which may in fact be Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, you're still going to be paying federal, state, and possibly local taxes on the income that comes out. Don't exacerbate the problem by, especially at age 70 and a half or older, don't exacerbate the problem by not properly calculating what your required distributions are. Now, what you may find out, as I found out with a great many financial planning individuals, people that have done their retirement planning properly, is they get into retirement and then the amount that they're drawing out of their tax sheltered accounts to supplement their Social Security is greater than the amount of the required minimum distribution. Remember, the RMD that first year is around 3.46. So if you're going to be drawing out 4 or 4.5, because that's what it takes to cover your expenses and your bills, well, then you're not going to have to worry about making separate year-end or tax time calculations to determine the RMD issue. Just understand, keep track, know what the number is, make sure you are drawing out during the affected tax year the amount that you need to cover not only your bills, not only your lifestyle, but the amount you have to cover that to cover your mandatory required minimum distributions. Isn't this cool stuff? I know Maya's all excited about it. She says, oh, geez, she just loves these technical types of discussions. But folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This is AM 790, your home of talk and business. And I'm Don So. We're inviting you to tune in tomorrow at 5 o'clock. My daughter, Donna Allard, and I will both be back for Get Back to Basics Tuesday right here on AM 790. This is Money Talk. Have a good night.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great.